Please be seated. So all week I've been scared to death because I have to follow the bishop. He was pretty good. I liked it. All about Epiphany. So welcome to Epiphany. This is our first week of Epiphany, and we always celebrate the baptism of Jesus. In my studies this week, I kind of went down two separate paths. And I asked the question this morning at the adult forum, and don't answer this yet, but I will ask you to raise your hands. When you hear this gospel reading, do you think about your own baptism, or do you think about the baptism of Jesus? Who thinks about their own baptism? Oh my gosh, that's interesting. And so the baptism of Jesus is unanimous. Wow, that is interesting. Because somehow I got to be thinking about my own baptism, but also in my studies I started thinking about what Father Ted was leading us down the path this morning. I really thought you were going to annihilate my sermon. It happens every once in a while, and that's why I try to run off before they get to the gospel. I don't want to hear about it. I'm in denial. But the thing that I really learned or stood out for me this week was exactly the question that Father Ted was asking. What do you see in the different gospels? Because the answer in Matthew's gospel is that Jesus is proclaimed. Well, let me read it because I always like using the exact words. God says, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, if I were an English scholar, in fact, you know, Barbara should be able to help me, but she's not here. She would tell me that that's like first person, singular, fourth person, whatever, whatever, whatever. But I got to say it this way, which is that God is talking to us. God is talking to the crowd, right? God is not talking to Jesus, right? He says, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In two of the other Gospels, what are the other two Gospels? Mark and Luke. God speaks to Jesus. And the Gospel of John kind of avoids the whole thing altogether. He says that he witnesses the Spirit alighting on Jesus. And it's kind of a first-person dialogue, so there isn't the voice from heaven, you know, in that whole sort of description of another voice. Very interesting. And I never really thought about it. So one of my favorite books for studying is what they call a parallel gospel. And that's where they lay out all four gospels in a book together, story by story, so that if you want to read about, and I kind of printed it out, you can do this too if you want. This is from Bible Gateway, but it lays out all four of the baptism stories. Matthew, I talked about, right? What's this one? Mark. "And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And the voice came down from heaven, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" You are my son. And then Luke is pretty similar. "And the voice came down from heaven, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" Well, those are identical. And then John. It's a first-person account. "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him." So John is saying, I did not recognize Jesus. "But the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The Gospel of John is the one that says, it begins with, you know, Jesus and the Word, right? So if we're, if you're wondering about what all of this means in the Christian church, you stand in a very good position because theologians argue and think about it. We've had about a century of theologians trying to figure out what Jesus thought at his baptism. Because if you think about it, was Jesus aware? Was he aware? If God is speaking to him first person, "You are my son with whom I am well pleased," what does it mean? This gospel would tend to have us think that he was aware and that the world was not, right? "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And this question I've never thought about until I studied this week was, why would Jesus get baptized? Why would Jesus, the Son of God, go to a baptism of repentance? Think about that. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the Word made flesh, goes to get baptized by some human, some sub-godly creature. Why? Why do we get baptized? Where are you? What's your name?
Cindy.
Come here, Cindy. 2 weeks in a row you get embarrassed. Oh, no problem. Cindy, I would like to present you with this Book of Common Prayer. Congratulations for and welcome to the church. I wish I had done this last week, but I left it on my desk. Yeah. Anyway, congratulations and welcome. So ask the crazy priest why he did that right then. Yes, we could, couldn't we? The catechism is in the back of the Book of Common Prayer. But we come to the church through the waters of baptism. And the fact that we did the celebration of new ministry with the baptismal font, with the bishop, blessing water, and then, I meant to ask you, how did you feel about the asperging? Have we done it before very much? Do we like it? No, we haven't. Not often. I would like to do that more often. And I only asked that because I was 40 years a Catholic, and that was a very, very, I don't know. It's moving, yes. It brings us right back in a tactile way to the waters of baptism, right? In dialogue with church builders, church designers and stuff, there are two positions for the baptismal font. One of them, don't break it, Bruce. One of them is like right here. And the other one is over here by Carlisle, okay? Which is, well, let's say Father Ted, okay? Yeah, because it's the normal entrance to the church. And what does it say about the baptismal font's positioning? Like, you come into the community through the waters of baptism, or you approach the table through the waters of baptism. You see in that? Pretty interesting thought. I wouldn't argue with anyone about, you know, either position. I actually liked them both. But last week, what we did was we reaffirmed our baptismal commitment together as a community before we approached the table. And the bishop, the head dude, helped us to do that, right? And then order's a little bit fuzzy for me because it was quite exciting last week for me. But Cindy reaffirmed her baptismal commitment right here in front of us all, right? We kind of did it together. But so remember I told you introduction, body, and conclusion? How many points should a sermon have? This is a joke, so you can answer if you want. Some talk about three-point sermons, okay? But in my estimation, there should be at least one. That's the joke part.
Is there an answer to why Jesus came to
be? I am so glad. I'm so glad you reminded me of that. Current scholars, or the best reading I've heard, was that he was participating in the acts of the church at the time. And that's the one that makes the most sense to me. So, and then if God was going to reveal him in there, then that would make sense too. Because all the Gospels mark the beginning of Jesus' ministry with the baptism. And that's kind of like how we begin our church year here too, right? We do Advent, like the beginning of the church year is Advent 1, right? We do 4 weeks getting ready for the arrival of Jesus Christ. We go into the Epiphany and we have this celebration. Some traditions, I'm already going over. some traditions, the baptism of Jesus is the highest celebration that can be had. Like the Coptic Church and... that's higher than Christmas. I don't know about Easter. That doesn't make much sense, but it's pretty high in their calendar. Anyway, where was I? So the point is that through the waters of baptism, we are welcomed. We have a baptism of, well, older theology had a baptism of repentance, sticking with John. Newer theology has a baptism of the Holy Spirit, sticking with the scripture like this. Jesus descends on us. Either way, I want to remind us that we become Christians as we pass through the waters of baptism, and that's why there's that note in the bulletin about all baptized Christians are welcome at our table. That's a pretty strong theological statement for me, being a former Catholic, a recovering Catholic. so many people are excluded from the communion table for reasons that I do not really like. That would be a discussion that we would have in private if you ever... I'm worried about it, but as I am pretty radical. Others are invited to come forward for a blessing. If you are not baptized, initiated into the Christian family of faith, and would like to explore becoming baptized, we invite you to speak to the priest. Sometimes there's even a note that says, if you are compelled and driven to the altar to receive communion and you're not baptized, then you can do that too. And then talk to a priest. That's how radically welcoming I think the church needs to be in our community. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's be radically welcoming.